Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
It's Twoo. It's Twoo. It's already hump day.
Today is Wednesday. Yep. Wednesday.
Definitely Wednesday, but in case you forgot it.
The sun is shining.
Yep, the sun is shining.
It's Wednesday. That's your favorite day.
Today, the sun is shining.
Today is a great day.
Great day today. Lots of sunshine.
Today is such a great day.
Think positive.
It's positive thinking for you.
Think positive thoughts.
TGI hump day, huh?
It's showtime. It is indeed. Sun is shining, but kind of a... obscured by a dark cloud for us here at the WORD family, as a great voice for broadcast journalism has been silenced. As you heard in Patrick's newscast, we lost Ed Jensen yesterday. When I first came here in 2006, I guess it was, originally I was brought in as the program director and was not even supposed to be on the air. And Ed and I worked closely together in building the news department, and he was an integral part of what we did. Ed was the best way to describe Ed was an old time news hound. You know, he was like a dog with a bone. When he got onto a story, he would wrestle it into submission until he got all the details. As Patrick and Evan were saying back in the news center earlier when we were talking about Ed, nothing got past Ed. And Roger mentioning that as well. Ed was Iowa Hawkeye stubborn when it came to following news stories. I can't tell you how many times when, as program director, Ed would call me 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning to update me on a story that he was still working on at those late hours, because that's the way he was. The clock did not determine when Ed was through working. Ed was through working when he got the story that he was looking for. And he will be missed. He is missed by all of us here at the WORD family. In on the text line 71307, so long, Ed Jensen, the world hardly knew ye. Bye-bye meant work, but just heard of the passing of Ed Jensen. My thoughts and prayers to all of you at the station and to his family. Thank you. I know his family will appreciate the prayers. Bobby, so sorry to hear about Ed Jensen. The last time I saw him at a Ted Cruz rally, I noticed he did not look well. This is very sad news. Yeah, Ed had been in failing health for a number of years, and that's what prompted his retirement, I guess, what, about a year ago. And sadly, it caught up with him. But we certainly appreciate all of the well wishes and thoughts and prayers as we keep Ed in our memory. Great to have you along today. As always, here we get going on Hump Day. Here is how you join me and be a part of the conversation today. Just grab your phone and use the Ingalls Advantage talk line, 800-347-1063. If you prefer to send me a text, use the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number, 71307. And my email address, bob@1063.com. So the president on the road today, he is vowing to fight back against the congressional Democrats issuing subpoenas for administration officials while calling their latest bid to bring in former White House counsel Don McGahn for testimony ridiculous. Here is some of what President Trump had to say today about the issue of the subpoenas.
The subpoena is ridiculous. We're fighting all the subpoenas. Look, these aren't like impartial people. The Democrats are trying to win 2020. They're not going to win with the people that I see, and they're not going to win against me. Now we're finished with it, and I thought after 2 years we'd be finished with it. No, now the House goes and starts subpoenaing. They want to know every deal I've ever done. I say it's enough. get back to infrastructure, get back to cutting taxes, get back to lowering drug prices. That's what, really, that's what we should be doing. The only way they can luck out is by constantly going after me on nonsense.
Well, there is no question. When the Democrats, you know, they made a big deal out of retaking the House last year in the off-year presidential elections, made a big deal about regaining the House. What have they done with it? All they've done is throw more roadblocks, more impediments in the way in terms of securing our border. They're on the wrong side of this issue with the American people, whether they know it or not. They continue the witch hunt. Look at the way they, for 2 years, talked about collusion with Russia, collusion with Russia. That's all you heard. So the Mueller report comes out finding no collusion with Russia. And what do? They immediately turn to, oh, well, he obstructed justice. Because Andrew Weissmann, the guy that sent the jackbooted thugs in the pre-dawn hours of this morning, sent FBI SWAT teams to break down the doors of Paul Manafort and Roger Stone because they were such hardened criminals. You know, they were the Dillingers, babyface Nelsons of the 21st century, these 60-plus-year-old guys, and they got to storm into their home in the pre-dawn hours, scaring the you-know-what out of their wives and families. This is all they've got. How are they then going to go back to their voters next year, next November, and say to them, look at what we did when we retook the House? What did they do? All they did was continue the ongoing coup to try and remove a duly elected president. And failing that, as they have to this point, throw as many impediments in the way as they can to his agenda. Did the Democrats do anything about taxes? No, none of them voted for the tax bill. Did they do anything about decreasing all the regulation that's been strangling business for the past decade or two? No. No, they love more regulation. They love big government. They want to control every aspect of your life. That's why AOC made these nonsensical remarks about what a terrific job the VA is doing. Tell that to the people in Phoenix who died on the waiting list. She's supporting the VA, claiming it's doing a tremendous job, and it has been better under President Trump because he keeps going through administrators till he can find somebody who will get something done. But AOC is saying this because it is part of big government. That's the only thing the Democrat Party stands for, is big government, to control more and more aspects of your life. All right? And it's as simple as that. So don't be surprised if we continue to see, you know, nattering Nabob Nadler and Chuck U. Schumer and Pelosi and the rest of them continuing to try and convince the American people that the Mueller report was a whitewash, that the Attorney General Bill Barr is doing nothing but carrying water for President Trump. I believe before the report came out, and I believe now, especially after his televised news conference, that Bill Barr may actually be a stand-up guy and want to get to the bottom of this. He is offended, I think, that the instruments of government, the nation's top law enforcement agency, the country's intelligence agencies, were all conspiring in this coup against an elected president who happens to be in a party they don't like and has a philosophy and a personality they don't like. Look, you don't like a guy. Okay, I get that, but that's not an impeachable offense. But it is to them. 3:15 here on the Bobby Mac Show. When we come right back, we'll continue in this vein. And we have some interesting new news from Judicial Watch. These guys have done yeoman-like labor in getting to the bottom of the coup attempt against President Trump. And now they found a little bit more about Felonious Von Pantsuit as well. That's on the way next here on the Bobby Mac Show on Hump Day. Bob McClain. Welcome back. Great to have you along. Thanks for sharing part of your Wednesday afternoon with us here on the Bobby Mac Show. Bob and the Bobettes, minus Miss Annie, who is still on medical leave recuperating from her hip replacement surgery, but she is recuperating nicely, I'm happy to say. And, of course, Miss Moneypenny on the other side of the glass, screening the cars, pushing the buttons, and making sure the trains run on time. In on the text line 71307. Bobby, time to investigate the investigators. Long past time, but let's get to it. Also on the text line, Bob, today the anniversary of Operation Eagle Claw, the attempt to rescue the Iranian hostages. From Sergeant John. Thank you, Sergeant. Appreciate your reminder of that. Texter also said, Bob, why is no one reporting about what Judicial Watch found out about Hillary's emails found in Obama's White House? Funny you should mention that. Someone is reporting on it. Judicial Watch announcing today that a senior FBI official admitted in writing and under oath that the agency found Hillary's email records in the Obama White House, specifically the Executive Office of the President. That would be the sainted Barack Hussein Obama. The Phibbies also admitted nearly 49,000 Clinton server emails were reviewed as a result of a search warrant for her material on the laptop of Anthony Weiner. You remember Anthony Weiner, the since convicted child porn guy, former congressman from New York. Boy, they know how to pick him in New York, don't they? Anthony Weiner followed by AOC. The assistant director of the FBI CI division, that's the counterintelligence division, his name is E.W. Priestap, known as Bill, made the disclosure to Judicial Watch as part of a court-ordered discovery into the Clinton email issue. You know, enough kudos cannot be given to Judicial Watch. They have uncovered so much with their FOIA requests. We wouldn't have known so much about the attempted coup between what Judicial Watch got through their FOIA requests and what we got off WikiLeaks as a result of the moronic Democrats leaving their servers wide open to be hacked. U.S. District Court Judge Royce Lamberth ordered Obama administration senior State Department officials, lawyers, and Clinton aides, as well as Priestap, to be deposed or answer written questions under oath. The court ruled that the Clinton email system was, quote, one of the gravest modern offenses to government transparency, end quote. Let me put this to you simply. Just when you have time, use one of your email search engines and look up the Espionage Act. Read it for yourself. See what it says and see if you don't agree with me that Hillary was in extreme violation of the Espionage Act, which, by the way, makes no mention of motivation in the letter of the law. Remember when Comey did his big July TV appearance where he listed all the offenses that Hillary had committed and then said, but no reasonable prosecutor would bring charges? Baloney. In the first place, it's not the FBI director's job to decide if charges are brought. That's the job of the attorneys at the Department of Justice. But of course, at the time, the DOJ was run by Loretta Lynch, and we knew she'd already met in the airport in Phoenix with Bill Clinton, so the fix was in. That's why Comey felt clear, had clearance to go ahead and say that Hillary had done nothing wrong or that no reasonable prosecutor would go after her. But when you read the Espionage Act, you see that there is no mention of intent or motivation in violating it according to the letter of the law. And yet, that's what Comey says. So, well, yeah, we found that Hillary did all these things, but there was no intent on her part to violate the law. Doesn't matter whether she intended to violate the law or not, she did violate the Espionage Act. And Limbaugh was exactly right in Fox last night, on Fox, last night in saying that Hillary should be investigated, indicted, and perp walked off to the Gray Bar Hotel. She is in violation of the Espionage Act, and I think that Judge Lamberth, who is a U.S. District Court judge, nailed it when he said the Clinton email system was, quote, one of the gravest modern offenses to government transparency. Hillary carried her stupid cell phone with her all the way to China, while, of course, you know, our enemies were busy reading her emails as soon as they were sent. Priestep, the FBI Assistant Director of Counterintelligence, Priestep was asked by Judicial Watch to identify representatives of Hillary Clinton, her former staff, and government agencies from which email repositories were obtained. Okay? So in other words, who had Hillary's emails? Priestep responded with the following non-exhaustive list. Brian Pagliano, Cheryl Mills. Cheryl Mills was not only granted immunity by Comey's FBI, she was allowed to come with Hillary when she was interrogated, quote unquote, by the FBI to act as her attorney. How in the world can somebody who was already in under investigation in the same case, number one, be granted immunity, and number two, be allowed to act as Hillary's attorney? But they did. Executive Office of the President. Another email repository of Hillary's email. The Executive Office of the President. Remember when Obama said he had no knowledge that Hillary was using this private email server? Well, then why did he have emails from her from the private server in his email files? Because he's a liar. The list also includes Heather Samuelson, Jacob Sullivan, Justin Cooper, United States Department of State, U.S. Secret Service, Williams and Connolly, LLP. That's a law firm. Priestap also testifies that 48,982 emails were reviewed as a result of a warrant for Hillary's email account information from the laptop of Anthony Weiner, who had been married to top Clinton aide Uma Abedin. They're since divorced. A complete copy of Priestap's interrogatory responses is available at the Judicial Watch website, which is judicialwatch.org. Priestap is serving as assistant director of the FBI's counterintel division and helped oversee both the Clinton email and the 2016 presidential campaign investigations. How convenient. Priestap testified in a separate lawsuit that Clinton was the subject of a grand jury investigation related to her BlackBerry email accounts. The astonishing confirmation made under oath by the FBI shows that the Obama FBI had to go to President Obama's White House office to find emails that Hillary Clinton tried to destroy or hide from the American people, said Tom Fitton, the president of Judicial Watch. No wonder Hillary Clinton has thus far skated. Barack Obama is implicated in her email scheme. Something that we suggested on this program some time ago, that the reason Hillary was cleared by Comey and by Loretta Lynch at DOJ was because it went higher than her. It implicated the President of the United States. And that's why Hillary has skated thus far, and that's why the circle is narrowing not only on Felonious Von Pantsuit, but on her boss in the White House at the time as well. 3:30 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Patrick's ready in the news center. I'm right back on the other side as we cruise on here on Hump Day.
Excellent.
Welcome back. 3:36 now, 24 before 4 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Great to have you along this afternoon as we cruise along. We're going to be talking some more about the president's comments today and about the entrance into the crowded Democratic field today. Joining me on the phone this afternoon, the RNC's Deputy National Press Secretary, Michael Joyce. Michael, how are you? Thank you for being with us today, sir.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
It would take probably, this is only a four-hour show, Michael. It might take longer than that to run down the entire field of everybody who has tossed their hat into the ring for the 2020 Democrat presidential nomination. Still awaiting, of course, Joe Biden tossing his hair plugs into the ring tomorrow.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And yeah, you know, it's starting to get kind of hard keeping up with, you know, every single 2020 Democrat and every single trip they make. But luckily, due to the RNC's historic fundraising this year and the past year, we're able to follow all of their moves. We're able to send statements out, you know, ping them when they make absurd comments, like when Bernie Sanders on his town hall on Monday says that prisoners, including the Boston Marathon bomber, should have the right to vote.
Yeah.
It's quite a bit.
I was just going to say, you know, I hope that these people remain in the forefront of the Democrat presidential primary field, because the more they talk, the more I think it points out the success of the president in implementing his agenda against overwhelming odds, by the way. And it shows just how far to the left the pendulum has swung for the Democrats. The stuff that they're proposing is literally insane.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, what Bernie Sanders said were ideas in 2016 that were radical, fringe, outside the mainstream. They've become the mainstream of the Democrat Party now. And you're seeing policy proposals like the $93 trillion Green New Deal, the $32 trillion government-run healthcare Medicare for All bill. They're trying to change the rules because they don't like when they lose. So they want to drop the voter age to 16. They want to abolish the Electoral College. These are absurd policies. And by the time you get to a general election, and whoever comes out of this field of 2020 Democrat candidates will be popping champagne bottles, because they're going to be pushing these socialist policies that the American people overwhelmingly reject, while President Trump's policies have delivered for the American people. And they know that they can't beat this president on policy. If you look at the economy right now, if you look at the promises made and promises kept to President Trump, they can't beat him in 2020. So we're very excited.
Yeah. And if the president is able actually to find a way to continue the construction on the border wall and actually do something that's meaningful and make a difference down there, whether it's authorizing the use of more military or whatever it may be, or shutting the border down, that to me would be game over.
Yeah, and you know, CBP just came out and they said that we've already surpassed migrant apprehensions for this fiscal year compared to fiscal year 2018. And we're barely into this fiscal year already. So there is a legitimate national security and humanitarian crisis at our southern border right now. The apprehensions are getting larger. We're having more large groups of migrants coming up trying to cross the border. And Congress needs to act. There's only so much President Trump can do. He's already declared a national emergency. He's doing everything in his power to start building the wall and giving our Border Patrol agents more resources and more bodies down there at the border to solve this crisis. But the longer the Democrats drag their feet, they don't even have a policy or an idea of what they want to do to secure our border and reform immigration. They're not offering a single policy proposal whatsoever. Republicans are. I think the American people understand that, and I think they know going into 2020 that if our border crisis is not resolved, it is the Democrats' fault 100% of the way.
Yeah, absolutely. I would think that the weight of the blame for this is certainly going to fall on them. When you look at the list of accomplishments that the president has been able to make happen, all the promises that he talked about in 2016, you look at the amount of governmental regulation and red tape that's been reduced. I saw some numbers the other day, Michael, the president had said that going in at the beginning of his administration, for every new regulation the government imposed, two would have to be eliminated. Just in the slightly more than 2 years the president has been in office, now, in point of fact, in the real world, for every new regulation that has been written, 10 have been eliminated. Taking these kinds of handcuffs off American business, I think, is one of the things that certainly contributed to the resurgence of the economy.
You're absolutely right. And when you talk about promises made and promises kept by President Trump, he's kept his promises more than I think any other president in American history. You look at what he did with the U.S. Embassy in Israel. He moved it to Jerusalem. Yep. Every other candidate that runs for president, they make that promise every single election cycle. They never got it done. President Trump got it done. He promised to put a conservative on the Supreme Court. We got two instead of one. That's because of President Trump. confirming a large number of federal judges. He's reshaping the American court system for generations to come. He's choosing young conservative judges to go to these federal positions. And everything else with our economy, every single economic indicator shows our economy is booming right now. You look at consumer confidence, manufacturing jobs are coming back, wage growth is up, unemployment is at record lows right now. There's not a single thing that Democrats can point to in this economy right now and say what you're doing, Mr. President, is wrong. And the American people see that. They appreciate the money in their pockets from tax reform. And it really has been two, now almost 3 years of promises made and promises kept. So when voters go to the polls in 2020 and they ask themselves, am I better off now than I was 4 years ago? That answer is going to be a resounding yes.
We're talking to Michael Joyce, is the RNC's deputy national press secretary. You know, we have complained, I have complained, Michael, over the years of the lamestream media essentially doing nothing more than being a public relations arm for the DNC. And so we don't get to hear about a lot of the things that the president has either already accomplished or is in the process of doing. Here's another one that just within the last couple of days, as the Trump administration proposes a new rule to try to block some 32,000 illegal immigrant-led families from claiming public housing assistance, obviously unfair to hundreds of thousands of American citizens who are stuck on the waiting list. And yet, you know, you look at the Alphabet Network's newscast, they're never going to do a story like this.
No, they don't give the president any credit that he deserves for all of the good things he's doing for this country. And it's unbelievable. I've always wondered what it would be like to be a Democrat comm staffer, because the mainstream media really does their job for them. You see the mainstream media fawning over candidates on the Democrat side. You know, if you remember a couple months back, Kamala Harris tried on a sequins jacket, and they were fawning over her for that. They don't give President Trump a single shred of credit that he deserves. But I think at the end of the day, the American people aren't focusing on Russia and Bob Mueller and the special counsel. I think they care about things that actually impact them on a daily basis. And I think when they look at what President Trump's done, they appreciate it. And we don't need the mainstream media to see those results. But it is incredibly absurd to watch them day in and out attack this president. I mean, I think Trump derangement syndrome is an actual thing.
Yeah,
if you
I
look
do too.
At what the mainstream media does.
Yeah, they've absolutely just lost their minds. Well, I think that the president's certainly going to have a number of arrows in his quiver to be able to campaign on in November of 2020. And given the look of the field right now, Michael, that the Democrat is composed of, the Democrat candidates is composed of, you know, it's acting as if they want a replay of George McGovern in 92. They want to get wiped out.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's almost like they're doing President Trump's reelect for him on his behalf. When you hear these absurd comments about having conversations about reparations, letting prisoners, including the Boston Marathon bomber, and maybe perhaps even the Charlottesville murderer, the right to vote. That is insane. I don't know anyone, if you talk to any real American, who would be in support of something like that. When they talk about things that would wreak havoc on our economy, like the Green New Deal, even the AFL-CIO said the Green New Deal is a non-starter for us because you're going to put a lot of auto workers out of a job
sure.
if you pass the Green New Deal. When you talk about government-run healthcare, you want it stripped private health insurance for millions of Americans across the country who like their current coverage right now, it would be a bigger disaster than the original Obamacare, which, you know, as you remember, the lie of the year in 2013,
you
President
bet.
Obama said, if you like your plan, you can keep your plan. If you like
sure.
your doctor, you can keep your doctor.
Yeah.
Well, now they're not even trying to lie about it. They're just being upfront about it this time that they want to take your health care coverage away from you. So when you match up their policies to what President Trump is doing for our economy right now and for the greater good of this country, they don't stand a chance. And that's why we're very excited for whoever comes out of this 2020 Democratic field.
Yeah, you know, the lunacy of the left may be exemplified, as you mentioned, Michael, the comment yesterday or the day before by Bernie Sanders that that felons who are in prison, people who are on death row, like the Boston Marathon bomber, should be allowed to vote. And I said, you know, it's too bad that Charles Manson is dead. He'd be able to vote. According to Bernie, he'd be able to vote in the next presidential election. And somebody texted me and said, well, Charlie Manson was probably a Democrat. So even though he's dead, he can still vote.
Yeah, well, you know, I think even Rob Blagojevich would be pretty happy about it. Yeah. He's still sitting in jail out in Colorado.
Yes, so he
is. It'd be a good day for him.
Yeah, exactly. Along with every other former Illinois governor that's come down the pike in the last decade or so. Michael Joyce.
Except for Jim Edwards, a good Republican.
Well, that's right. Yeah, the exception that proves the rule, right? Michael Joyce, exactly. The RNC's Deputy National Press Secretary. Michael, thanks for your time today. Pleasure to have you here. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Good to have you here, sir. 3:47 now, 13 before 4 here on the Bobby Mack Show on Hump Day.
All right, Dan.
Zeppelin. Welcome back. 3:51, 9 before 4 here, the Bobby Mack Show, the Hump Day edition. I got a great email today, so let me share it with you this afternoon. The official email intro rolling here.
We've got email from you.
We got a bunch of it.
Play some music.
There's lots of mail indeed. We've got email from you.
Oh yeah.
Cancel your phone.
There's some we cannot read.
For obvious reasons.
You stupid bunch of.
Some say our show should be admired.
Why, thank you so much.
And others say we should die in a fire.
Hey.
We've got email from you. We've got email from you.
Yeah, I got this email. Came in Monday. Haven't had a chance to work my way around to it. It's from my friend Richard. It's Tar Heel. Entitled, I was thinking, if only 11 million people have Obamacare, how will 24 million people die if it's repealed? Will an additional 13 million people be randomly selected to die? I was thinking, if Donald J. Trump deleted all of his emails, wiped his server with bleach bit, and destroyed all of his phones with a hammer, would the mainstream media suddenly lose all interest in the story and declare him innocent? I was thinking, if women do the same job for less money, why do companies hire men to do the same job for more money? I was thinking, if you rob a bank in a sanctuary city, is it illegal or is it just an undocumented withdrawal? I was thinking, each ISIS attack now is a reaction to Trump policies. Yet, all ISIS attacks during Obama's term were due to climate change and a plea for jobs. I was thinking we should stop calling them entitlements. Welfare, food stamps, WIC, ad nausea, are not entitlements. They are taxpayer-funded handouts and shouldn't be called entitlements at all. No one is entitled to them. Social Security, veterans benefits, on the other hand, are entitlements because the people receiving them are entitled to them. They were earned and paid for by the recipients. I was thinking, if liberals don't believe in biological gender, then why did they march for women's rights? I was thinking, how did the Russians get Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the DNC to steal the primary from Bernie Sanders? How did Russia get Donna Brazile to leak debate questions to Hillary in advance of the town hall meeting? I was thinking, why is it that Democrats think superdelegates are fine, but they have a problem with the Electoral College? I was thinking, if you don't want the FBI involved in elections, then don't nominate someone who is being investigated by the FBI. I was thinking, if Hillary's speeches cost $250,000 an hour, how come nobody shows up to her free speeches? I was thinking, the Democrat National Committee is mad at Russia because they think the Russians are trying to manipulate our election by exposing that the DNC is manipulating our election. I was thinking, if Democrats don't want foreigners involved in our elections, why do they think it's all right for illegals to vote? I'm going to quit thinking for a while. It's making me tired. Has a tendency to do that. Bobby, how much better off would we be if we didn't have to pay for all the freaking illegals? Coming up in the next hour of the show, in fact, a breakdown of some of the numbers of the costs of the illegals and how many of them are receiving the aforementioned entitlements. Bobby Mack, you can't fix stupid, but you can vote them out of office. People need to let their vote be heard by putting the lefties and the Democrats out to pasture. Bobby, here's a question for you. Does someone lose their Secret Service personal protection if she is in prison? I hope so. Bobby, Trump is to the presidency what Terrell Owens was to the NFL. Super talent, but extremely hated, sometimes even by his own teammates. Makes Trump accomplishments that much greater. Gotcha. And to take a break for the news here at the top of the hour as hour number one expires. Stand by, though. Hour two is on the way. And since it's Wednesday, I'm joined by my buddy Dave Schwartz from Freedom Action Network. We'll have an update on what the good old boys are up to in Colombia and their plans to fix our roads. Yeah. That's what I said. Fix our roads. Yeah, be right back.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.